You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. Faith in Christ brings healing. Learn more about this truth in week 2 of our series, Beyond the Signs.
All right, good afternoon, 3 p.m. service. Since it's a great afternoon, why don't you tell the person seated next to you, I'm glad to be seated right beside you today. Just to set the rapport this afternoon. All right, for those of you who've joined us for the very first time, my name is Martin. I am not a pastor here. I am one of the volunteer ministers. And we are down to the second installment of our series we call Beyond the Signs. How many of you were here last Sunday? Can I show a raise of hands? We've been talking about the different signs of Jesus or the different miracles that Jesus did, particularly in the book of John. And for the next 5 weeks or 6 weeks starting this Sunday, please don't miss this out. We'll be talking about the different signs. And some of you know that I just came from a trip back in Hong Kong. Last week, I was on a solo trip to Hong Kong, and it was my first time traveling alone. And for some reason, I really love the city simply because other than it's very modern, I really love urban places. But other than that, I just see a lot of signs everywhere, just like this picture right here. Every single street, every single corner is just filled with signs. And the reason why I love Hong Kong is every Chinese or Mandarin signage right there, there's an English translation at the bottom. So you won't get lost. Now, every single time, people would tell me, if you ever get lost in the city, if you ever get lost in Hong Kong, you just have to look up and you'll find your way. So every single time I get lost, I look for the train station. By the way, their train system is just so perfect. It's one of the best in the world, if not the best. And I just look up and look for the train station and I get there. And why am I sharing this? These signs point out to something. In the same way that we are talking about in the next 7 weeks in this series, the goal of the series is for these signs to point out to something. Now, if we understand the signs, last week, Tom talked about the wedding at Cana, that Jesus turned water into wine. And that is a bit remarkable for me. Why is that so? Because in that particular scenario, when Jesus turned water into wine, he displayed his sovereignty over time. How many months does it take to ferment a wine? So it takes a very, very, very long time. But in an instance, Jesus proved that he's sovereign above time, that he turned water into wine in a single second. Now, today is rather special because we'll be talking about the faith journey of a man. Can everybody say that with me? Faith journey. I will be talking about the faith journey of a man, which is unnamed. And I always remember when I was there in Hong Kong. Of course, if you're in Hong Kong, Macau is just an hour away. It's just a ferry away from Hong Kong. So I took advantage. I went to the terminal. I went to Macau. And for some reason, Macau is just so different. I mean, it's different from Hong Kong. It's so unlike Hong Kong because Hong Kong was a city of signages. But in Macau, I don't see a lot of signs. And of course, because of the free shuttles, I just ran from one hotel to another hotel to another hotel. And in the afternoon, I decided to swing by a different type of hotel, which didn't have any shuttle. I went to this particular hotel, and when I went out in the afternoon, I got lost. I got lost simply because I had a problem. My problem was my cell phone was dying. My cell phone was low bat. And for some reason, I forgot to charge my phone the night before. I forgot to charge my power bank, maybe because I was too excited or I was too tired of the trip before that. But I was not able to charge it. And my dilemma was, I was there in the wide streets of Macau figuring out what to do. And my dilemma was to cross the road because the taxi stand is right across the road. And it's like perhaps 20 meters away. And you just don't jaywalk just like that. Unlike here in Dumaguete, we just jaywalk all across. So what I did was I actually decided to go to the left side. Which side will I go to the right or to the left? Because all I see is empty spaces, empty roads right there, big roads. And I don't know where the people were, but it was just empty. I took pictures and right after that, I faced my dilemma. So I went out, I went to the left side. And for 1 hour, believe me, for 1 hour, I was just like walking, looking for a pedestrian lane. I was just like there walking and looking for a pedestrian lane. I was just crying. I was desperate. Lord, I just want to cross the other side. The taxi is there. I want to go to this particular location. And true enough, after I've walked for 1 hour, I saw a hotel nearby. And there's a taxi stand in every hotel. So I went there. I went to the Senado Square and got lost. actually got lost in Macau, and after which there was great desperation in my part and a sense of urgency because, of course, my boat might leave me. I might miss my boat. I have a ticket, round trip ticket back to Hong Kong, and I might miss that. What is my point here? Today, we'll be talking about the faith journey of a man who happened to have his own experience of desperation and a sense of urgency. And this is quite an unusual story. If you'll try to read the story, this looks the same with the centurion, which was named the centurion, but this is not the same. Let's try to read from John chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. So it says there, "So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made water to wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, 'Unless you see sign and wonders, you will not believe.' The official said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go, your son will live.' And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, 'Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him.' The father knew that that was the same hour that Jesus had said to him, 'Your son will live,' and he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did, for he had come from Judea to Galilee." All right, this story revolves around two people. This story revolves around Jesus and the official. It says there, "And at Capernaum, there was an official." And when I was preparing with this, with Pastor Archie and Kriyatong, I was looking at what was the name of this official. How will I set the background tone for this one? It's just nothing. But if you'll try to study, an official literally means a royal one. This gives me a picture. Perhaps this is the picture of a royal one or an official. And this gives me a picture that this man right here is quite wealthy and powerful. How many of you here, you're seated next to a person who looks like wealthy and powerful? By grace and through faith. And for some reason, this man right here was a name. And he was an official in the time of King Herod. King Herod was the one who beheaded John the Baptist. So we'll see the tension right there in a few minutes. However, this official right here, although he was so wealthy and so powerful, he had one single problem. He had one single problem. What was that? His dying son. He had a dying son. And if you'll try to look at it, if you'll try to empathize on a person, this is not empathy between you and a sick child. This is between you and a dying son. I don't know if you're a father or a parent here and your son or daughter is dying, that's different. There's going to be a sense of desperation and urgency in your time. And for some reason, this official right here heard about Jesus. It says here in John 4, 47, "When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him." He heard about him. Perhaps, if I'll think about it, maybe when I was still in their time, rumors spread everywhere about Jesus. Maybe the reports about him turning water to wine reached Capernaum. Or maybe in our generation right now, maybe Jesus had a lot of followers in Twitter or Instagram. Or maybe every single time he makes a miracle, people would begin to capture it live on Facebook and hashtag miraclesph or something like that. I don't know. I cannot just imagine how reports actually spread out in that time. But for some reason, this official heard about him, heard about Jesus. And let's try to look at the setting of this story. Capernaum is where the official was an official. So Capernaum, just description, is a town 680 feet below sea level. At north shores of the Sea of Galilee, at 686 feet below, is the lowest freshwater lake in the world. While on the other hand, Cana, present archaeological site of what believed is to be Cana, has an elevation of 914 feet above sea level. So if you'll try to distinguish it, the distance between Capernaum and Cana, that's like so wide. It's actually a 20 to 25 mile hike. And if you'll try to notice this, I have a map here. If you'll try to look at it, it's uphill. Cana is uphill. This is not just trekking from here towards the boulevard. For us, it's just easy to trek. But this man, this official, together with his servants, traveled from Capernaum up to Cana by feet. I don't know about you, if 20 to 25 miles is just like from Dumaguete to Pamplona. That's so far. I mean, this is an official right here. I am powerful and wealthy. I'm running after a carpenter that is 20 to 25 miles away from me. I think not. I might send my servant. But we'll try to look at why he actually did that. I mean, a hike is very tiring. I remember when I was in Macau, I was looking for a particular location in Senado Square, and the St. Paul's ruins is actually on uphill. So if you go there, I was looking at my Google Maps, and the direction stated that I just have to go somewhere at this part. So when I did that, that was uphill. So I trekked with all my backpack, with all my stuff inside. I went up just to find out that it's a dead end. So what I did, I rerouted. I went on the other side, and when I went back down, I found out that the way was just here, and it's just on the other side. So I just wasted all my energy there. And for me, that was already exhausting. But I could not begin to imagine this official right here, who happened to trek from Capernaum to Cana. But my question is, what made him go to Jesus? What made him go to Jesus? For some of us here, why do we go to Jesus? Maybe when you were still lost, why did you go to Jesus? He went to Jesus because he was in a sense of desperation. He had desperation and a sense of urgency of his dying child. And this is what we call crisis faith. He had a crisis faith. We could not begin to imagine the pain and the unbearable stress he had at that time. That the only option that he had was this Jesus, whom he heard about. I heard about this Jesus doing all these miracles. Maybe if I was the official, I think I've summoned all the best doctors in that moment. But for me, for some reason, he's already dying. The doctors don't know what to do. This Jesus is the only answer. That's why I'm going to trek it right now, up to Cana, whatever it takes. And true enough, he went up there. John 4:47 states, when this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. He was on the point of desperation. And you know what? He was so broken that he went to Jesus, even though he didn't know him. Sometimes brokenness manifests itself in desperation. I don't know about you, but for me personally, if those times that I was so desperate about God are those times that I was so broken before him, that everything is just messed up, everything that you do is just so ruined, that the only thing, the only person you could grasp on is Jesus Christ. Because you know for a fact that he's open and he welcomes and he does not break a bruised reed. His brokenness manifested in desperation. And sometimes God allows trials and testings for us to really grasp onto him. Sometimes he allows us to go through the refiner's fire. The refiner's fire, just like a clay, just like a potter and a clay. That he pinches us, he pinches the clay, the dough of the clay, in order for it to be made perfect. It says here in 2 Corinthians 4:7-9, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. For we are afflicted in every way. It says here, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. This is what we are holding for. That although we go through the refiner's fire, we will not get destroyed because God is sovereign, serene above the floods. And yes, the official was there. The official was on the verge of giving up, perhaps. He traveled desperately towards Jesus. And let's try to look at what happened when he had an encounter with Jesus. The official traveled desperately uphill to find Jesus. And what did he say? He said, in John 4:47, when this man heard that Jesus had come down from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son. All right, they were like there. Jesus was there. And it's like saying, hey, my son is dying. Go down with me there. Go down with me. But how did Jesus answer him? This is quite tricky. So Jesus said to him, Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Here is a desperate father, just longing for the healing of his son, and Jesus kind of rebukes him. He said, unless you see signs and wonders. Does this seem familiar? In this generation right now, the pragmatic philosophy of the world is always to see is to believe. I will not believe you until I see it. I'll not believe that there is a God until I see it. The official was like saying, go down with me. I want to see it myself. But Jesus just rebuked him and said, unless you see it, you'll not believe. Sometimes we are like that. Sometimes we always ask for signs. If you want to do great things for God and you would say, Lord, I want to do this for you. Lord, I want to preach to this nation. Lord, I want to do this for my family. But Lord, pahinging sign. I want to do this, Lord, but Lord, I just don't feel like it, so I need something tangible, something that I could feel. But faith is not like that. Faith is the other way around. Faith makes things tangible. It says there in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of what we hope for, of the things hoped for, and the conviction of things that are not seen. Faith makes things tangible. Hebrews 11 marks the hall of faith. If you've read the book of Hebrews, or the letter of Hebrews, Hebrews 11 is like the hall of faith, like the Hollywood star. So all of the works of the patriarchs and the great men of old were already there. For example, by faith, Noah warned about things not yet seen. In holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Here comes Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And one last thing, and by faith, Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. What is your faith? If you try to ask yourself, what am I believing for this year? What am I desperate about? Relational dysfunctions, perhaps? Maybe promotion? Or maybe grades that are fluctuating? But my question, what was the official's faith? The official's faith was simple. His son's healing. That's it. He just believed for his son's healing. And we'll see how his faith will progress from the crisis faith to a different kind of faith. It says there, how did Jesus address his faith issue? It says there, go, your son will live. Simple. Go, your son will live. Sometimes all we need is a go signal from God without any questions asked. Now, how did he respond to that? What happened next? There was a progression of faith. It says there in John 4:50, the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. So he didn't ask questions. All right, so you won't go with me back down there? When Jesus said, go, I mean, do you have friends like that who, a man of few words, you would narrate a lot of things to Jesus. Lord, my son is dying. Lord, an accident. Lord, something like that. And Jesus would just tell him, go, your son will live. And here comes the official. I mean, who are you? I'm an official, you are a carpenter, and you're like just telling me just to go out there. But because he knew who Jesus was, he took his word, went out, and held fast to it. What does this tell me? If you'll try to study this, if you'll try to study the context, the official and his servants met the day after. So this gives me a picture that this official stayed the night at Cana. And if you'll study the topography of Cana and Capernaum, from Cana to Capernaum, if you travel by night, it's just going to be so dangerous, maybe because of the bandits or the wild animals that you don't see at night. So what the official did was that he rested at night. And for some of us, if your son is dying, you cannot rest. If your son is dying, there's a sense of urgency that you cannot just close your eyes and hold tight and rest. But for some reason, this official right here was so confident at the point of sleeping and resting while traveling in the morning. Now, what does this tell us? This tells us that his faith progressed from a crisis faith to what we call confident faith. From a crisis faith that he so longed about Jesus because his son was dying, now he took a word from Jesus. And now he was confident. I mean, on every situation, on every desperation, what does God tell you about your situation? Sometimes you just have to hold fast to his word. If God tells you that you'll be promoted and he has started a good work in you, the Bible says he will finish the good work he started. Whatever it is that God has been telling you in that particular season of your life, hold fast to it. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Jesus is faithful. Jesus is faithful. Now, true enough, the official held fast to his word. And in verse 51, as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday, official," or "Lord, sir, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." Now you'll see the progress of the faith of this man from crisis to his confidence to the confirmation of his faith. And now his faith is confirmed. Indeed, God was true to his word, and his servant was healed. Because he believed, his faith was confirmed. And lastly, his faith was contagious. It says there in John 53, and he himself believed, and all his household. It's not just him who believed. I don't know about you. This is the reason why our testimonies are just so contagious. This is the reason why if you encounter so great about God in your life, it's just going to be so contagious that you'll begin to preach it to your neighbors. You'll begin to preach it to your classmates. You'll begin to preach it to your office mates because it's going to be contagious. This is what we are talking about. He himself believed. And to sum up the official's faith journey from crisis faith to confident faith to confirmed faith, now to contagious faith. It is my prayer. As we encounter his grace, his miracles in our lives, it's gonna point out to him being powerful and sovereign over every area of our life. What can we learn from the story? Number one, we can learn that Jesus is gracious. That Jesus is gracious. Though this miracle happened in an unbelieving atmosphere, the official was not Christian. The official who went to him perhaps does not know him. Perhaps nadungugana niya, chismis. He was there. He was just asking for a miracle that he wants to see. Seeing is believing. And he was an official to King Herod. King Herod was the one who beheaded John Baptist. And Jesus right here, if I were Jesus, I would say, "How dare you? Go away from me." But Jesus was gracious. And this is where we can see that he is the savior of the world. That he saved that son, yes, that is correct. He saved his son. He's like telling this official, "Yeah, your son will live. But my father right there, he would lose his son. Your son will live. It's me, the life-giving bread. I'm going to make your son live, correct, because of my grace. But my father would lose his." This gives us a picture that regardless of our past circumstances, regardless of who you think you are, regardless of what you've done 5 months ago that kept on hunting you until now, God's grace is for you. And God can do a miracle in your life in the same way that this official did. Number two is that Jesus is faithful to his word. Jesus is faithful to his word. He would always finish the good work that he started. Every single time I'm down, every single time I'm in agony, I always remember his word. I always hold fast to his word. That he is always an ever-present help in times of need. And indeed, in this official's life, he was the ever-present help in times of his anguish. It is my prayer that every single time, we always look upon, not on the sign, but beyond the sign, but beyond what we see, but we look at the Savior and what he can do. Sometimes, it takes faith to really to believe. Even if we don't see it yet, something is happening. If God says so, something already started. If God says, "Go," the boy healed. The official didn't know that the boy was already healed. He had faith. He held fast to it. He didn't know that the son was already healed at the same hour. The moment God gives you a word, in your quiet times, God gives you a specific verse to hold on, there something is already happening. It's not just there for nothing. Something is already happening even if we don't see it yet. Now, what are the things that you're desperate about? I don't know. Careers, relational dysfunctions. You're asking God, Lord, I want your grace. I want peace to be in my family. Ask God for that. And He'll give you a word. His word is true. He's faithful and just. He is sovereign over everything that we do.